You are listening to Real Bible Answers, where the answers are always realistic, exegetical, applicable, and lasting. Real Bible Answers is brought to you by the Life Heritage Radio Network and features international evangelist and Bible teacher, Dr. Keith Augustus Burton.
I'm glad you tuned in again to Real Bible Answers. The question today comes from Lenny. He asks, "Dear Dr. Burton, please share your thoughts on Daniel 12. I have done a lot of research on it and still remain uncertain on its interpretation." Well, thanks for the question, Lenny. Well, it does seem to me that the key to understanding chapter 12 lies in taking into account the recapitulative structure of Daniel. In other words, let me break it down here. The book of Daniel comprises a series of visions that define the major world powers that dominate until God establishes his kingdom from heaven. Each vision utilizes different symbols to describe the same four kingdoms, hence the use of the word recapitulative. Now, having established my presupposition, allow me to recap Daniel's description of the dominant kingdoms in each of his visions. If you can recall, there are four visions. The first we find in Daniel chapter 2, the second in Daniel 7, the third, Daniel 8, and the final is contained in Daniel 11 through 12. Now, textual and historical evidence suggests that the kingdoms Daniel describes are the earthly Babylonian, Persian, Grecian, and Roman empires, and finally, the kingdom of God. Again, when we look at the text and look at the historical evidence, it seems that the kingdoms Daniel describes are Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and the kingdom of God. Now, when we look at the book of Daniel, we see the first kingdom represented by the head of gold in chapter 2 and the lion with eagle's wings in chapter 7. And from Daniel chapter 2, verse 38, we can say with certainty that this was the kingdom of Babylon, or modern-day Iraq. Now, since Babylon was overthrown during the decades of which Daniel received the individual visions, we find that it is not mentioned in chapters 8 or in 11 and 12. That's because when these prophecies were given to Daniel, it was a time of the Persian Empire. Now, the second kingdom we find is portrayed by the breast and arms of silver in chapter 2, the bear with three tusks in his mouth in chapter 7, the ram with two horns in chapter 8, and the three kings of 11, verse 2. Now, here again, we can deduce with some degree of certainty that this was the empire of the Persians, or modern-day Iran. Next, we see the third kingdom, which is signified by the belly and thighs of bronze in chapter 2, verse 32, the leopard with four wings and four heads in chapter 7, verse 6, the goat with a prominent horn and consequently four horns in chapter 8, and the warrior king of chapter 11, as well as the four kings and the kings of the north and south. And of course, this is different phases. Now, when viewed historically, this can only apply to the Greek Empire, and theologians basically agree on this. And now, the fourth kingdom is symbolized by the legs of iron and feet of iron and clay in chapter 2, the dreadful beast in chapter 7, the little horn in chapter 8, and the ships from Kittim in chapter 11. Now, the powerful symbols in these prophecies find strong parallels in the kingdom of Rome and its Euro-American satellite, although I must disclose that there are some theologians who believe that they also refer to Greece. But when I look at the symbols here, it does appear to me that none other than Rome is the referent. Finally, the permanently usurping kingdom of God is depicted by a stone in chapter 2, the judgment in chapter 7, the restoration of the holy place in chapter 8, and the standard of the archangel Michael accompanied by the resurrection in chapter 12. So I have found that looking at the big picture has greatly aided in my understanding of the major message that Daniel wanted to portray. I suggest that overemphasis on the mathematical implications of the time periods included in this broad picture can often make the interpretation more difficult than it needs to be. Don't get me wrong. I do believe that there is a place for deciphering the meaning of the various day periods, but I also believe that it is easy to get lost in the details and forget the intended message, which is very, very simple. God wins.
I trust you were blessed by this edition of Real Bible Answers. To listen to other programs or to view some of the other services of Life Heritage Ministries, visit us on the web at www.lifeheritage.org. Feel free to email your questions to BibleAnswers@lifeheritage.org. If you wish to give a donation, you may do so on our webpage, or you can send it by check or money order to Life Heritage Ministries, Post Office Box 56, Harvest, Alabama, 35749. Again, thanks for listening, and always remember that a tree is known by its fruit.